There's a really nice gateway, a landscape gateway entrance to the whole area. What have we got? We've got three ugly billboards and a bit of derelict land. Now, you know, Scrap Store is an innovative project. It's an environmental project. It's done fantastic things in recycling. You know, it's pioneered the way. And it's a real shame if Scrap Store, it wasn't your fault, you inherited those boards, you didn't put them there, you just inherited them. It would be a real shame if the Scrap Store couldn't see their way to...
As I actually said, we would like to work with the community, but it isn't something that can happen.
But I would imagine
that's
what
I said, neighbours say, oh, the shame the Scrap Store doesn't work with them. I've actually said we want to.
That's
work
good,
with
that's
the
good, but I would imagine if they were there in a year, if they were still there in a year's time, you would be saying, you know, Polly the play worker, that's half her salary, we can't remove it. It's better to do it now when you're just before you've actually moved in.
I have to say. That's why I'm at this meeting to
I know, and it's good, it's good.
He's just here from Ivy Church, you know.
It's great that Ivy Church are represented as well.
I'm sure we can work something out between us, so it doesn't have to be all one for one. Yeah, I'm sure
Let's concentrate on the council plan. Other meetings later.
Do you have any idea at all whether any of the revenue for the other boards is coming back into the community?
No. It's a difficult question to answer.
Even in terms of tax or anything.
Well, that's part of the process of identifying on whose boards
we are to display.
Because there is a possibility that they're displayed on council own land, and the council receives some income from these adverts. We don't know that because the property services division, they lease land to people, and the responsibility of that lease is that they obtain the necessary consents. The checks aren't made, unfortunately. So that's one issue. There could be money.
For people.
It's not how quite work that way. I mean, I think the ones on 70th Street and James Street, if I'm not mistaken, they are owned by Mills and Allen, or the
land. Yeah.
The land, they've actually purchased the land.
They're the umbrella company.
They're all sort of those sort of organisations. They buy up these things as a matter of course when it comes about. They go to auctions and they buy them up, and they stick their holdings on them, quite often without consent. Coming back to your sort of point about the housing renewal area, that's what I've been working on over the last few years. And you're right, you know, we spend millions on developing the area and improving the area. And I mean, I was shocked to miss out Shrews property, which is we spent tens of thousands of pounds doing that shop up. And then I was shocked to see, you know, within a day almost of us finishing the job, you know, there was an advertising hoarding going on, which I obviously immediately notified Adam about. But we have a problem, and it's a problem that we're hearing a little bit about today. As the housing renewal area set up, one of our strategies was to resist advertising hoarding. Can you hold on? Sorry, I realise your hands up. If I just finish this a little bit, we had a strategy within the housing renewal area strategy to resist the developments which involved advertising hoardings. And indeed, every application that came to the council in the period that the housing renewal area has been going on were refused. Unfortunately, it has come to our attention that even the ones that were refused have actually gone out. Now, the enforcement action is a process which relies on people keeping an eye out on the neighbourhood and informing us about it. Now, we didn't realise that those advertising hoardings had gone up on something that had been refused. We do now. We can actually take an enforcement action against it. But what we've had is a problem where we've had advertising hoardings already on sites with shops, for instance, where they've got an advertising hoarding attached to it. You know, we encourage them to take it down and we'll pay for a mural to be put up. Mm-hmm. Well, a mural's not going to pay me any money. I earn £1,200, £1,300 a year from that advertising holding. What's a mural going to do for me? Yeah. And that's a problem that we've got to balance against. Because there's St Wilbur's has changed, but when we first set up the renewal area here, it was seen as a rundown area with major economic problems. Yeah. The businesses here were struggling to survive. That £1,200 made all the difference between them being viable and not being viable. You know, so we've had to balance. We couldn't just go in there, you know, the proverbial bull in the china shop. We've had to balance between the needs of that business surviving there and the service that business provides. As our colleague from Scrap Store was saying, you know, there are fine balances to be made here. We've got to be careful about how we operate. That having been said, you know, the area has changed, and we have got some teeth that we can actually dig into the into the backsides of these very lucrative bits of business that Mills and Allen and JCD Cole.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, you know, it's about targeting, and I think, and it's also about developing a strategy. I'll be quite honest, you know, put my hands up, we failed. As a housing renewal, we failed to deal with the advertising holdings. We've dealt with lots of other things, we failed on that score. We don't want to walk away, now that the renewal area is finished, we don't want to walk away and just leave it. We recognise that, you know, we've got some time in which to do something, and that's why Adam's here, and Adam's identified resources. And one of the things that, you know, well, we're quite happy to do in the housing renewal is to work with you. And I can see a few faces here that I've worked with before. And you know, I know there's a strong community here, so if we can work together, develop a strategy and target particular sites that you want to see addressed, and we will try and move that forward.
I'm not entirely clear about the process for either keeping or removing the hoarding. Is what you're saying partly that, as far as you're aware, there is no current consent on any of the archetypes of hoarding, so what will happen is you'll either decide, or you, we, or whoever, will either decide to grant consent or refuse consent, and the ones which will refuse consent will then legally have to be removed and be prosecuted.
After appeal.
Yeah, after all the... And those who are given consent can then disgrace for 5 years. Is that the process that you're describing?
Well, the discontinuance notice is an issue where we can take necessary steps to serve a discontinuance notice on virtually any advert, provided, if I quote from the actual legislation, we can serve a discontinuance notice if the planning authority is satisfied that it's necessary to do so to remedy substantial injury to the amenity or the locality or a danger to members of the public. Danger to members of the public can be in the form of overhanging onto a footpath, or more commonly it's highway danger where it's put in a position. The ones as a good example would be on the M32, where if you're coming off that slip road, you know, you're getting caught by a massive advert that's in your face. It's there to advertise, to display, to draw your attention to. So we can take this continuous action. We won't encourage planning application or applications for advertisement consent. It's a different form of planning consent. But we can't stop people from applying for consent. But if we identify that certain panels are unauthorised, say, the quicker we get them, the better. So if we identify a panel that's been there for 3 months and it's not been had consent to be displayed, we go straight to prosecution.
But the ones where we've substantially seen, most of them seem to be now quite a long time.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And a lot of those consents go back to 1980, during the 1980s.
Yeah, possibly some of them.
And have they then come back every 5 years?
No.
They
don't.
So they literally don't have... It's by default that they're still there.
They have what's called deemed consent. It's up to us to discontinue that consent. It sort of carries on.
Which makes them a little bit more vulnerable to...
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry to sound pedantic about this.
Yeah.
So you have to go through serving the discontinuance notice irrespective of whether there is current planning consent.
That's right.
Even if the planning consent has lapsed, the fact that they're still there...
No, it hasn't lapsed.
It doesn't lapse because it's just
deemed consent.
Yeah.
If we don't issue a discontinuance notice, then that has deemed consent.
It continues.
The 5 year period is...
That carries on. That's deemed to have consent, unless you serve a discontinuous notice.
So when you say it detracts from the local amenity, how much does public opinion have to do with that?
I think quite a bit, really. I mean, you live here, you work here, you know, you've got an idea of what your amenity is and how it suffers or how it's
Our
enhanced.
Opinion about what our amenity would benefit from actually matters. You know, somebody from outside could say, well, we don't think it detracts from the amenities, what we put the money into. But actually, public, local opinion is really given good.
Well, I think sort of tying with Joanne's job, I mean, by identifying this and St Agnes as a renewal area, we identified that it needed renewing, and millions of pounds has gone into the area, so I'd argue that the area is looking better than it's ever looked.
Yeah, and again, and we could push it even that bit further on.
Yeah, yeah, and that's right.
Yeah.
And I think you're right, you know, one person's amenity might not be someone else's, but there are some pretty basic principles that the planning system...
It's also strength of feeling and petitions that matter. Mm.
It's less of the emotional side of it and more the practicality of what is someone's amenity. And it's, if you know, you need to have a sort of a pleasant outlook, you know, noise and unsightly displays are considered to harm residential amenity. and that's what we measure rather than, it's not, it's, you know, lots of people feel quite worked up about a lot of things that that would not be seen as a problem in planning terms, but in planning terms public amenity is relevant, but it's not based on the numbers of people that feel about it or the emotion that they have about it. It is just based on, you know, a practical assessment as to what, whether their amenity is enhanced or harmed by a proposal.
Certainly on appeal, an inspector makes a visit, and I think if there was a large number of public people attending an appeal visit and representations to the appeal, against the appeal, I think that helps the appeal process, as it does in any planning in a planning application when you ask for comments.
Because the statement's already been given in the petition you got at this meeting, like, this is all valid evidence
definitely,
that you use that on appeal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there was someone over there wanted to ask.
I don't have a question. I just want to really make sure that the voices of the people that I'm here to represent basically are heard. I believe we're just outside the boundary of the...
Oh, sorry, who are you?
Lower Tottenham Place Residents
right.
Association.
Right.
Quite new.
Yeah.
But this is something we feel quite strongly about, obviously, because the billboards by the church are right at the end of our
yeah.
road. And I really agree with what you were saying about this being an area that for many is the first sort of point of contact with central Bristol. I suppose I just want to make sure that you realise that even beyond the boundary of St Werburgh's and the urban renewal scheme, you know, this is affecting our sense of our living, if you like.
I just had a new piece of information. I think may well be something. Well, it must be something you know about. But this is from Montpellier Conservation Area, the Conservation Group. Apparently, the Conservation Area has now been extended and includes Ivy Church right up to the pavement in the corner. Conservation areas are not supposed to have any displays or even have displays visible from a conservation area. So that particular, my understanding is that particular area now has a higher level of protection.
Well, I think I was just going to say to the lady at the back that, yes, I mean, you're protected by the fact that you're in a conservation area, whereas the rest of the Zimbabweans is not.
Right.
So there are far more powers that the council has in the planning system to protect that area.
I suppose it's a little bit of a no man's land.
I believe it's been extended. Do you know that?
We can check out.
Yeah.
It has. Well, I know he's out of consultation, and the conservation wants to extend it into... into that area. I don't know what the process, whether that process has been complete, but it's quite likely that it should be complete by now.
I don't think it has been complete. Obviously, it has some insurance repercussions on the church, so we've just raised a few questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
But on the whole idea about on the Irish church, kind of making a gateway into St Werburgh, I think that's a great idea. But is there any money left in the neighbourhood renewal?
Housing renewal is distinct from the neighbourhood renewal. Neighbourhood
right.
renewal is something else.
Is there any money still left in there? Because obviously, you know, it would be greatly enhance our and the Scottsdale's situation if there was some neighbourhood plan or some housing renewal plan to help us enhance that corner. As it is, it does have security issues. It is an important, you know, it is in that whole car parking area is quite vulnerable. That's why we've had to put on. The security lights, because it's been broken into three times in the last year. So obviously, if you're part of the housing renewal plan, we'd be very happy to consider it. We are obviously in a situation at the moment. We need to safeguard.
You need security and
yeah.
I need to add a few trees planted.
Yeah.
There's someone there.
So I was just interested in the planners, whether, because it seems to me the lessons of this is not just a purely localist approach. It's surely about worrying about where these things are going to get moved on to. Is it going to be another neighbourhood which hasn't been lucky enough, all the house prices have gone right up, which is where those house, and it's lucky enough to have the neighbourhood renewal, and hence people have managed to come together and say, you know, we shouldn't have this. But there'll be another area where that hasn't happened, and there'll be done it on. I'm thinking the planners should be taking the initiative to, it shouldn't be about, you know, this.
Are not unique. These problems exist throughout the city and beyond this city, in other cities, in other towns, throughout the country. It's a major problem. It's not as great a problem as perhaps in France or in the USA, but we have a planning system which actually attempts to control it. But unfortunately, you know, you're quite right. You know, you could suggest that the planners should do that, but it's a question of resourcing it, and it's the City Council and the members deciding where the resource priorities go into. The only reason why we're here and we are able to sort of bring what limited resources are available to the process is because the housing renewal area is still there and we have a project with some small resources available to us, and the enforcement team, who are very stretched to deal right across the city with enforcement issues, are able to sort of bring a small resource for a few weeks into the next few weeks or the next few months to deal with the problems in Werburgh. But you're quite right. You know, we could stretch this out right up to Whitchurch and to Hallfield and everywhere else. But the reality is, you know, the resources aren't there to stretch
it out.
And
that's what the advertisers know and want to. Yeah, but
hang on, Chris.
So yeah, I think there's that point is a fair point. It's a very general point. We can back concentrate on the billboards in St. Wilbert's. We now have direct contact with the fans.
Well,
I'm getting the feeling that you're very sympathetic to what we're saying. I think we can count on your help and support in a practical sense. Could I pick up a point that Chris Turner said? I don't know if you want to sit in the church. It's going to be important to make sure that something is put in the place of those billboards. Otherwise, they'll remain derelict areas and the billboards will probably go back up again. If we're looking ahead at landscaping enhancement schemes, then we're going to have to apply funding. And if we were to do that together, it will take some time to come to fruition. But as you both charities, it ought to be possible to include within the application some sort of recompense, even in the short term, for the loss of revenue. Mm. And there are, we wouldn't just be reliant on the City Council, there are, and I've looked at the internet on this, there are a number of organisations who are prepared to fund this kind of community development. The Scarman Foundation, for example. I've seen examples or photographs of examples of derelict areas where local communities have taken just this kind of action with the cooperation and assistance of the local authority, applied for funding. They've got people in to do professional designs, and the difference is absolutely astonishing. If we were to work together and support each other on that, I don't think we'd need to fall out.
I'd agree with you. If you're talking about derelict areas, that is actually land owned by Scrapsville, so you'd actually have to go with derelict areas, derelict area, nobody owns it, nobody's doing anything.
I'm using the word derelict in the broadest possible sense. I just mean an empty piece of land that hasn't got anything going for it in terms of its visual appeal. So that corner by the roundabout, just by the eye of the church, it could describe that. That's the point of making that area. If it was properly designed and properly landscaped, it could be a tremendous gateway for the area. Getting to that point is going to take some time. It'll take joint applications. It's not going to happen overnight. It ought to give us time to allow for the damage to your cash flow. We ought to be able to include that within any funding application. And just one very brief example of the kind of project this could be. Lakehall Open Prison, the gardening team up there won gold medals at Chelsea Flower Show on many occasions. They've now set up a unit whereby they are looking for work to do in communities to give the people that are involved in these projects an experience of work prior to their release. So it's possible that we could have access to Chelsea Flower Show gold medal winning designers and their plants. And people to do the work at relatively low cost, and it would win a lot of brownie points in terms of the funding applications. So there's all kinds of possibilities that we can explore. The key is making sure that we're not just campaigning to get rid of the billboards, but we're campaigning positively to put something in their place. And that's got to include the perfectly legitimate concerns of people like Scrapsville.
Yeah, that's a very good point, please.
Can I just start with that gentleman over here?
Yeah, I've got two comments to make. I'm a local resident, also happen to go to Ivy Church. I'm also an architect, and I can observation like to make about the resourcing of the planning department. As an architect, I know extremely, extremely stretched. And there is a point to make here that if we, as a city, want our planners to do something, then we need to think about the resourcing implications.
try and get consultations, and we struggle as architects get consultation because of that stretch. That's one comment. The other one is a certain frustration with, I know this is a legal campaign, but has someone been carrying out illegal vandalism, basically, of something that we don't like, but nevertheless it's vandalism. And I feel like, I suspect it may be that one of us here is being carrying that out, I don't know. But for the benefit, if that happens to be the case, I would like to express my annoyance that someone thinks they have the right to carry out vandalism in our community with no accountability for her actions. I happen to have, in the past, seen someone actually graffitiing billboards as a form of protest to the billboards being there. And I followed that individual, and I discovered they didn't live in this community, and that they were part of an anarchist organisation. I tend to take the view that people that carry out those activities are actually almost like fascists.
That's vandalism.
I agree with you, but if we believe that we can carry out activities without accountability and through legal process, then I feel that you could say that the people that vandalise our walls and paint graffiti over our walls, we justify anything. And that's increased the graffiti going on in this community, which I think is another issue as well.
I think it is another, I think which...
You're not contracting the adverts.
I think, well, quite frankly, detract from the community.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I know it isn't, but it's important.
Yeah, that is a valid issue, and I'm sure a lot of people agree with you in this room.
Yeah.
We're going off the track a little bit. Gentlemen's here, and then please, lady.
Right, thank you very much. John Rogers, Ashley Liberal Democrat. First, excuse my apologies, Shirley Marshall sends her apologies. Second, I've spoken to Gary Hopkins and Christopher Davis, who have successfully or been involved in getting rid of billboards in Knoll. And there is now only one billboard in Knoll, and that's one that's been there since before 1974, which I understand sort of has a special significance as a date. So 1981 sounds like very good news from that perspective. Really just to say that I think it's well worth getting it. It sounds very optimistic what we're hearing. The other thing is that we were planning to have a photo of the billboards on our next Ashley Focus newsletter. Now, we've been sent by Chris a sort of picture which has got a number of people on it, and I really wanted to see if anybody objects or would mind if we actually put that in. We have said in that that the issue commands all party support, so we're not making a party political point on it. Thank you.
This lady here.
Welcome to receive
that.
Well, the money, there's no money. It's actually a voluntary post. That's why it's happening.
They don't even get their travel.
Yeah.
But I guess the point you're making is not just knowing where they are, it's doing the thorough research.
The research is not just about the location, but there's a whole sort of paper desktop research that has to be done in terms of who owns sites, all that sort of thing, which is an
activity. To give a strong legal case.
it's putting the legal case,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, our solicitors wouldn't take the matter to if we had, ultimately, it could end in court action. They don't take matters to court, which they're not as good as part of, as 100% sure that, we've got the right people there, and we're taking the correct action against the right people.
Yeah.
So we need to be completely thorough in our history.
And what's the usual penalty if they are taken to court prosecution?
It varies. I mean, we're getting fines sort of £500 to £1,000 for each display.
Well, nothing.
It doesn't come to the community either. It goes somewhere else. It doesn't go to the council either.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you insist on it being taken down?
No, that's a discontinuance process. When we prosecute for displaying unauthorised adverts, it only merely achieves a result of guilty or not guilty. It doesn't actually achieve removal. The discontinuance process is the only way to actually seek removal of an advert.
Right, well, I just want to say we're part of the organisation that's sort of got the ball rolling on this. So I want to say thanks to both the planners for coming down in their spare time on a Friday night.
Yeah,
it's appreciated.
Yeah.
No, we thought you were buying us drinks after this.
Was that Tom? And I'm sorry that the person from the scrap store's gone, but I just wanted to say that this campaign was not to do with stitching up the scrap store, and Ashrips as well. We appreciate they're part of the community, and especially the scrap store's a great charity. I know people who use it, and they say it's wonderful. So the last thing we want to do is ruin their finances or whatever. But the basis of our campaign is that we want the billboards gone. In response to the vandalism and the fly posting and them being chopped down, if they weren't there, they wouldn't be vandalised, fly posted or chopped down, because they wouldn't exist. I'm interested to find out what our strategy should be from now on, because I feel that we've done a lot of work in getting this campaign moving, and getting 800 names on a petition was quite a significant feat, I think. So I'd like to know, what our strategy should be. And can we just serve this continuous notices now? Because I don't understand what we have to look into, because I think enough work would have been done.
Okay, right, just, we're going to that. Can I just finish off a couple more questions, and then we're going to the next stage. So, gentlemen,
can I just ask, have you actually already identified any of the billboards as not having ever had permission?
Probably the best example, so I spoke to a lady probably about 6 weeks ago, and I don't know if she's here, was probably moving towards towards Glenfern Road, towards the railway bridge. And there's several sites there that we've had several applications to display adverts, which we've always refused.
This is up against the railway bank?
Yeah, somewhere with nursery school, sort of going that way.
So they've been refused?
Yeah, they've been refused, and we've actually been through the appeal process, and we've been successful in having the appeals dismissed. But it seems at some stage the adverts have been displayed nevertheless. And that's, actually, I've done a check on our computer system. I've not actually gone through our paper records to see how that decision was made by the inspector. But there's several good appeal decisions that stands in good stead for the other sites. And it's a bit saddening that people actually do decide to just put up adverts even if they've been through the proper process.
Are they breaking the law?
They are. They're displayed there unlawfully.
I mean, that's vandalism as well, isn't it? You know that,
yeah. Yeah. Would someone be breaking the law if they cut them down? I'm actually too busy to do it.
It's a criminal balance.
Would they be...
On the back of that, when you say that you give 5 years' notice and then they have to be taken down.
No, it's not. There's a standard adverse condition.
Okay, it doesn't say that.
Maybe we can change it.
Would you be guilty of criminal damage if you cut down something that was illegal in itself?
You'd be guilty of criminal damage and damage to the car that was illegal in the park.
Okay. Yeah. Gentlemen there.
I was talking to the conservation officer today, Kingsley Caulbrook. And he was saying that the conservation area, as including the United Church, is going to be adopted in the day now. It's just got to go to the press. I'm just wondering how that's played into the discontinuance notice. Presumably there's ones that like the church and then shouldn't be allowed to do that because it's in the conservation area. So surely it'd then be discontinuous.
You can't apply the principle of conservation area in retrospect. You can't declare it's a conservation area and then declare something backward, if you want me.
So
this can only apply to the future.
It'll be material when there's an appeal. It'll be a material consideration which will have carried some great weight, really. The fact that it's now within the conservation area is good justification. One, for us taking action to have it removed. And if the company does appeal, a big, strong consideration for the inspector to say, okay, it's now a conservation area, which, you know, the immediate issue becomes a much stronger thing then.
Okay.
So the impact on the character and appearance of the conservation area. So it's Joanne's point, retrospect, but for the future, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gentlemen here?
In the case of subcontractors going around putting up the posters, does that constitute another link in the chain that...
Yeah, there's several companies that do it. Poster West is one of them.
Yeah, I think that was the brand that I saw.
You'll see them, and that is an avenue to pursue where you can try and obtain information.
Yeah.
So there's certain companies that are set up purely just to display the adverts,
yeah.
But they're just employed to
Yeah, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
Just
that's
doing
it.
The job, you know.
Yeah,
that's it. That'd be another link to pursue.
There is another line as well, isn't there, about people who advertise, but you don't advertise or something like that. Something that is unlawful, then there's action we can take against them.
That's right. I mean, there is standard conditions within the advert regulations that, that mean you must have consent of the owner. But the council do get occasionally where people display adverts on their land that the council don't know about. So that's one reason why we can actually get them on that. And we are very, very successful to get them removed rather than prosecute because people don't want to take the fines.
Is it Network Rail that owns the site where near the nursery?
I would imagine.
So if we campaign to Network Rail to say that those are illegal, can you remove them? This would be legal right to remove them, wouldn't it?
Well, the thing is, I think if they, Network Rail, obviously they're a private company, but I think if they were sort of lobbied and protested against by the community group, I think that helps.
It's not only that, it's the park, there's one in the park, isn't that council land?
Probably is.
Yes.
I mean, that's sort of thing. We could do. The problem we've got, and I've
and the rubbish behind it.
Yeah.
No, that's not council.
But you have the services to remove that.
We would. I mean, we'd obviously have to liaise with our property division who manage and receive that income. And that's the other thing. There is an income issue. The council must receive a considerable amount of money for income from advert panels.
But doesn't this just underline what you said just now? Each of these sites has got something different about it.
Yeah.
You need to be appropriate action on the software side.
Yeah.
It's a long process.
Yeah. Lady here, and then we can go on to the strategy.
Can I just as well?
Okay. Right. Just those two, and then we'll move on to.
Maybe you clarify it now, but I thought I was looking pretty carefully, but now you're saying those, I'm seeing you saying, the billboards near the railway tunnel have actually not had. They've been refused.
I think those are the ones. Yeah.
But they're still there. So, at what moment do you have any teeth to actually get for people to take them down?
Well, we're actually complaint driven. I mean, it's unfortunate that the case officer that dealt with that case probably didn't identify it and bring it to our attention so we could take action when it was first erected.
Mm.
Consequently, we don't know when those adverts were erected.
One of them was about 2 months ago.
Right, that's helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as it's not been more 4 years?
Well, if an advert's been there for 24 years, it's difficult for us to take it to court to prosecute them, because the magistrate would probably say, well, why now? Go down a different route with discontinuance. So in terms of prosecution, prosecution is a really good tool for new adverts, anything that's been displayed there up to a few years.
So are you expecting them to take them down any minute now?
This evening.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know,
definitely,
it seems
definitely,
like you know everything you do.
They're the easy ones.
You got your chainsaw with you, didn't you?
they're the easy ones, definitely.
This idea.
Do you think you've been talking about the amenity argument, but the ones around the roundabout, does it make a difference that they are on a roundabout, so there's lots of cars having to look at them and having to make some decisions about which way they're turning? Is that a public safety?
It's an issue. We consult traffic management, development control, who are specialists in identifying early drive accident black spots, statistics that have to do with accidents in the area. And we rely on them as the experts in giving us some assistance in that. But the problem, I think, with roundabouts is you're always slowing down, aren't you? You know, it's actually a process to slow down because you're identifying that there's a hazard to negotiate. You're looking all different ways. So at the time of the application in 1981, That fact was considered, and it wasn't considered to be relevant. It may be different because traffic change, and it is a rattler,
yeah.
You know, especially key times in the day.
I think that's what bugs people, because the boards aren't even in the upstairs, for the drivers passing, driving
yeah.
Yeah. I think with that particular one, I think when it was recently taken down, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid, unfortunately, one of the residents complained because that screened their property from all the noise of traffic, and they wanted to put back up. So there are downsides to all these things.
There's an alternative screen that wasn't there.
Well, yeah, we can. But I think so moving forward with, you know, I think that's what we've got to do, really, move forward from here. Had quite some extensive discussion about it. But really, we got someone starting.
We have regular meetings.
So it'd be good if we could get some sort of meeting going about with the new person.
Yeah. We're ready to go, basically. We're ready to go on this now. We've been ready for a few months, really.
Who's
so,
Liz?
Yeah.
She's one of our colleagues, she's on holiday. She's
one of our colleagues, yeah.
Who's the best contact?
I guess the four of us here are the main ones who are doing the meeting.
We are present company, don't we? So
they do a lot.
We're never going to be liaising with them, you know.
Right.
Which sort of
topic. So it's really about identifying which ones you want actually on.
Yeah. The ones that we said are sitting.
That's an interesting one, and I think if we can identify where that one is, and if you're saying it's on the nursery side.
I'm pretty sure it's the one on the nursery side.
On the side of the embankment, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's on the embankment side.
Yeah, I think that's the nursery side.
It's on the right hand side of the driving down.
That would probably be a pretty decent dentistry.
I thought it'd been there longer than 2 months, I have to say. I think it's been repainted, actually.
Right, it appears that the meeting is drawing to a close. I think it's been very positive. I'm sure you'll all agree that it's sounding a lot better than thoughts.
Could I just ask one final question? My understanding of what you're concluding now is that you're bringing in an independent auditor, is that right, to assess the validity?
No, a member of staff.
Okay. When will they give their report, and what kind of time frame are we talking about before we see the billboard start?
Well, I was going to ask about your cycle of meetings, really, because in some ways we need to have some meetings with the community to identify which ones they want to prioritise and what they want us to do.
Okay, well, they say they've got all the information they can furnish you with for that.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's my series of meetings that are actually talking to people and actually moving the process forward. And it's to meet as soon as
you
can. Yeah. And what we also need to do, once we've got our information, we then need to meet with our legal teams to actually find out, because we're not solicitors, we need to see what information they need.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
The response that from the petition, the statement was due on the 6th of May.
Yeah.
So can we say somewhere around about that time for the initial meeting?
Well, this coming week, we'd expect to have an audit of carried out and probably a property history research done on each of the 13.
Okay. So that'll be quite quick.
I would say in the next 2 weeks, it'll probably link in with that. Right. So we can give you an initial feedback on where we think we can go and probably give you a more detailed idea of what our strategy is going to be.
Yeah, but what would be really useful if we had someone, one of you, that can spend time during the day with the person who's going to carry the audit, to just go around and show them exactly which ones you are prioritising.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So if we can have a contact.
That's going to be a lot safer as well, because it's going to need two people really to sort of, because taking photographs is not always good.
So were you liaised with
pictures of all of them?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's more or less the, yeah. Right, thank you very much everyone for attending. Thank you to Jawar and Adam. That's really it, you know, obviously it'll move on. How will you get back to basically getting residents
name? We got people's name addresses from the
Everyone's put their name on the sheet, presumably you can contact.
I can we've been sort of like emailing out, I'm afraid, but we'll try to, if anything important comes up, we'll try and do a kind of mailing as well, you know, so
and there's minor matters as well, which
yeah,
from newspaper.
Yeah,
and there's work done.
So workroads.org, which is like 10 people are looking at the moment, maybe we'll expand it to 20.
Is anybody in favour of some of the ones, because some people have been talking about security and it's useful having the last stuff as security and noise and stuff. Is anybody interested in the idea of using some of them for displaying local artists' work and actually using them as billboards but doing something funky with them, at least until we do something else?
No, I think you know, put it this way, I've given them grants to federal grants for keeping them if we stop it.
They're not going to get any income.